Hey friends, this is Angela, the Real Credit Queen, and welcome to Your Credit Today, your go-to destination for mastering the art of credit management. Whether you're a seasoned financial guru or just starting your journey towards financial freedom, this podcast is your ultimate guide to understanding and optimizing your credit wellness. Join me as I unravel the complexities of the credit scoring system, debunk common myths, and provide practical credit strategies to help you navigate the world of credit with confidence. Get ready to take control of your financial future, one episode at a time. Well, hey, everyone. This is A to the N to the G. You're listening to Your Credit Today. And I am super excited about this show today because I have a fabulous guest. But you know, I always have to do a little business. If you have not subscribed to this show, please hit that subscribe button and tell all of your friends and family about the amazing tips and information that you're learning from this voice here, Angela, the Real Credit Queen. So, oh my goodness, Paul, I am so excited to have you here today, but I have to introduce you and tell a little bit about and tell a little bit about what I saw about you online. So, and forgive me, tell me how you say your last name properly.
Violas, long I.
Ah, Violas. Okay, yes. Well, my friends, Paul Violas, global business leader, accomplished author, ooh, I love that, TV and radio personality, and let me tell you, you guys will hear that personality come out. He is amazing. For over four decades, Paul Michael Violas has dedicated his career to the protection of our country, as well as the shareholder value of the businesses he has navigated to the pinnacle of their respective vertical markets. On his speaking tours, he's hands-on expertise in subject areas of behavioral analysis, leadership development, corporate espionage, extortion, stalking, cybersecurity, family protection, and workplace violence allows him to develop unforeseen insights that will have you at the edge of your seat and captivate your audience. Wow, I'm already impressed. From corporate executives and high-profile individuals to private families and sales teams, each attendee will leave with a renewed sense of focus and re-energized with information that can be easily and expeditiously implemented. Wow. Oh my goodness, Paul, this is absolutely fantastic. And let me tell you, not only is it fantastic just in the scheme of things, but with what I do and what I've been doing in the last 35 years of protecting identity when it comes to credit, man, you are doing way over and above what I ever could imagine being done. So let's dive in and you tell me about you and the adventure into the world of protection, how you landed in this space. Just tell us your story, your success story, and why you do what you do.
Well, I will, Angela. First of all, thank you for having me because I'm a big fan of yours and just was really looking forward to joining your show. And I want to say, I mean, for everybody listening and all your loyal listeners, you know, one thing about what you just said, you do far more than I do on so many platforms in so many ways because of the fact that when someone loses or has their credit compromised, it can destroy a life. So yeah. You do so much good out there and your information is invaluable. So it's just a true pleasure to
Thank
be with
you
today. I could say that. All right.
I really mean that.
And I've been looking forward to this because I think collaborating with you is going to be a lot of fun. So you asked me to tell you why I got into this. Why would I get into this? So this is the year 43 for me, actually coming into 44.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I got sworn in when I was 19 years old, young kid. And, you know, I've just been incredibly fortunate to have some key people in my career as I moved forward and born and raised in the city in New York, which you could probably tell from this Well, hey, you know what? Listen, I try to tone it down. You do a lot of public speaking. You try to like, you try to keep that down there. But you know, you start hanging out with the guys and it just jumps right through. But you know what, why did I get into this? It's really interesting. And how it all started was, I was going to college. So for those of you that may be in college and you see, get a chance to get an internship, it started as an internship, Angela, honestly, that's how it started. And I'm sitting in the cafeteria and I see this thing and New York County District Attorney's Office, Detective Squad, Investigations Unit, internship. I said, I could do that. Now, looking back in retrospect, how the hell did I think I could do that? I didn't know anything. But I went in, I waited, I got interviewed. And the most fascinating thing was that the gentleman that comes out to ask me if I've been helped is none other than, God rest his soul, the most powerful figure in the history of the United States criminal justice system himself, Robert Morgenthau, who was the district attorney in New York. Yeah. And I said, well, no, sir. I'm what he goes, wait a minute. 2 seconds later, and this guy, this person comes out. I PSN the story. I'm interviewed by Morgenthau himself, by Mr. Morgenthau. And, you know, his only question to him was, why do you think you deserve this? I'll never forget that. I mean, it's almost 44 years later. Why do you think you deserve this? And I looked at him, I said, I probably don't, but I know that no one will work harder. And he said, go down to this room. I do. I get started. I do the internship. And then, boom. Then it's 6 months later, and they offer me a job. I start, and that's where it all started.
Destiny, obviously. This was your destiny.
Yeah.
I mean, destiny was calling when you met him. That's incredible.
And I'll tell you the really cool thing. So fast forward, you know, I end up running a couple of the threat assessment teams on 9/11 in New York City. And because frankly, you know, before that, a lot of people didn't really care that you had a background in Islamic radicalism. And on 9/11, you became a great commodity. So it was interesting after I did that and I wrote my first book, I got the nicest comment from Mr. Morgenthau. All those years later, right? So it's just, kind of full circle. But that's how it all started. It started there, and then I got recruited by the government, and prior to Desert Shield, and we moved to Florida, and I deployed out of Cape Canaveral, went downrange a lot, and kind of grew up in the intelligence world. So it's been a really fascinating career so far.
That is such a compelling story. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I love the fact that you've been doing this for so long. You and I have some alignment in that area because I've been actually doing what I'm doing since I was 18. So I love the fact that you started so young, because I think when we're young like that, we just have a hunger and a thirst for not only the truth, but the information that we consume at that age. I think it just goes so much further. I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm getting up there in age. And you know, I just remember when I was younger, you know, how much I just wanted the truth. You know, when I was a little girl, I actually used to dream about being an attorney, and I would dream about doing my cross examinations in court and winning. And unfortunately, my circumstances in life didn't bring me to that place, but I get to do exactly what an attorney does on a daily basis in my business. I'm just not an attorney, but I love to hear the story that you just shared with us and how you remember those that, you know, helped you, gave you a step up. And that's just so important. And I love to hear that you are an author, and we're going to talk about that. But now you talked a little bit about why you do what you do, but let's talk about how you do it. So let's get into that.
So I finished my time with the government and I retire. 9/11 comes shortly thereafter and I'm brought back in. I go to New York. And I was in charge of Iconic Site. So we had a couple of quite a few, not just in New York, but around the country, that needed to be assessed and fortified. And as we were in a very difficult time at that point in our history, So I finished that commitment and then started the firm. And at the time, and for those listening, you think back to post 9/11, everybody decided they were going to hang out a shingle and become a security expert, which was shameful because most of the folks had no background in it whatsoever. I didn't want to do that, and I didn't want to dive into corporate America. And I just was fortunate enough to have a door opened on the kind of high net worth side. So we built a business model around creating a company that would, in essence, be a mirror of the most sophisticated federal law enforcement agency or military operation in the world, with every component that you could possibly imagine under that roof that could handle any scenario anywhere in the world. And that was the goal. And by the grace of God, that has happened. And I mean that. I thank God every day for how it's turned out. But all these years later, you know, we have a little over 800 souls. We're everywhere in the world except for North Korea. And how we do what we do is just great talent, exceptional technology, and a lot of very smart people, God knows a lot smarter than I am, that are thinking two or three days ahead of where we are today. And it's interesting, you and I spoke briefly once, last time we were talking, and we kind of briefly talked about, you know, what keeps you up at night kind of things. And we can get to that. I know we'll get to that, but it really speaks volumes about how we created what we created. And the subject of today, specifically on the cyber world, because when we created this, you got to remember, when we created this, there was no issue of internet, deep web, dark web, hacking. It didn't exist. So after a bachelor's, two masters, and a PhD, really needed to go back to school to learn everything I could. Like, I was a kid again, like you just talked about the cyber world. And what was the business model? How are these guys doing this? Who's doing it? And that's why we dove into that. So building the company really had to do with making sure that mirror image wasn't just about today, but it was about 5 years from now. Wow. And that's, you know, again, that's kind of how we got here.
That's very interesting because technology grows at the speed of light, literally.
It does. Yeah.
Things change so much. And for you to say, you know, look, we have to think 5 years ahead. Wow, that's interesting. How do we know what's 5 years ahead? But
well,
obviously you guys do the research on that.
Angela, I cannot take credit for that. I barely know what's right in front of me. I mean, if I wasn't guided by some really smart people, I wouldn't know. We have code writers, for example, and we have intelligence analysts. And the analysts myopically examine what's going on in both the deep web and the dark web. And just for all your listeners, we need to understand those are two entirely different places, even though the term is used as it's one place, they're two different worlds. So we have to examine that constantly. We look at trends, we look at chatter. They write surveillance algorithms that allows us to get into, you know, nefarious chat rooms to see if people are talking about other people, if they're stalking them, examining them, following them, you know, planning things, that type of thing. So it's a matter of staying ahead of the game. You know, we realized that there are a lot of people that don't like and that have become, you know, have a certain degree of trepidation as it relates to search engines because, you know, are the people that own that search engine, are they following me? Do they know what I'm looking at? I get pop-ups all the time. I'm getting really freaked out about it. So our code writers created our own search engine, if you can believe that. Seriously, it's called stealthsearch.org, and no one can track you on that. It's free, and I'll never take any advertising on it, so I'll never be beholden to anybody. I underwrite the whole thing myself. But it's stealthsearch.org. So if you don't want any pop-ups and you want to get rid of that part, you use that. That's really the answer of, you know, how is some really great minds on the technology side that have said, we're really going to get hit with this. So let's start figuring out how we're going to protect our clients today when that happens. And that's been our key.
Wow. Now, I have to take you back for a minute because you said that there was a difference between the dark web and what was the other thing you said?
Deep web.
The deep web. Can you please give our listeners just a little education behind that?
So kind of picture like we're all sitting here today, this kind of picture in front of you, you know, this kind of pie diagram, and look at one slice of that at 1%. And that 1% is called the clear net. The clear net is what all of you are using right now. That's where your Google is. That's where you, you know, you watch online. Everything you do online goes through the clear net. That makes up 1% of the internet. Right at 99% of the internet is what's referred to as the deep web, created from what's originally known when the internet was created many years ago as IRCs, or the internet relay channels, kind of the pit of the internet. That's about 99% of it. Now, that is where nefarious groups and organized criminals live, breathe, work, and transfer money. That's where human trafficking, firearms trafficking, narcotics trafficking, terrorists, people fencing, art, major criminals live, breathe, and operate in the deep web. About at any given time, 4 to 6% of the deep web is what's referred to as the dark web. The dark web is the component of the deep web where identity thieves live. People that are stealing your credit card, stealing your information, destroying your credit, going after all of that, that's where they live. They live and breathe inside the dark web. And it's a whole different group than the people that live and breathe and operate in the deep web. This 99% is connected by something referred to as the Tor, T-O-R. It's an acronym for the Onion Router. That's how it was labeled, because onion meaning many layers. There's many layers of security on that router, which prevents authorities, for the most part, in getting into it. Now, we're fortunate enough that we have the capability of getting into it and following people, but that's pretty rare. So that's the difference between deep web and dark web.
Wow, that's incredible. And thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, by all means.
Because of course, this being a credit show, and I'm always talking about different facets of credit, whether it's consumer or business, you know, what you just shared is so pivotal. And the thing that we have to remember, friends and fans out there that are listening, is just like Paul said, look, there are people that unfortunately do this for a living. This is how they live and breathe and eat. And we are victimized by these people if we don't take measures to protect ourselves. And that's why Paul created his search engine. And this is why it's so very important to be careful, not just in the credit world, but also just in the regular world. Those of you that have children out there, I'm always very, very careful about where my son chats, because, you know, like you said, these predators out there, they live out there. And so you've got to be careful on all these different chat methods. You know, I was telling a friend the other day, it's so interesting because I have two sets of children in different generations, meaning that, you know, I have older children that didn't grow up with video games the way that my younger child does. You know, they had cell phones when they were, you know, maybe in sixth grade or something, like seventh grade. And these kids, my 12-year-old, you know, these kids grow up and the first thing they have in their hand when they're 9 months old is a cell phone. And so, you know, what they're doing on the internet is far and wide what my other kids did. And they're always telling me, Mom, Dad, you have to be really careful about who Julian is talking to, because he's in a generation where he could be talking to someone halfway across the world and you don't know it.
Correct. And he could not be talking to another 12-year-old, but a 62-year-old pedophile.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the reality of it. I work sex crimes for a long time, and I can tell you, Angela, that's the reality of it. There's no question about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So now I always say, let's talk a little turkey.
Okay.
And can you share with our listeners like 4 security tips on how to maybe protect themselves online? You and I had a little conversation the other day about cell phones, social media, and of course, as much as we can, not becoming a victim to scams and fraud.
Absolutely. Sure. So let's start with this. Look at the low-hanging fruit. And the best way to understand this is forget about the passionate side, the oh my God, I'm going to get hacked side, or it doesn't matter what I do anyway, I'm going to get compromised. Forget about that. You can take complete control over this today, as long as you understand the business model of the nefarious individuals that hack into your life. Once you understand that, you know how to protect it. And if you do that, you don't have to worry about it because of 2 words, negative migration. That's the business model hackers use. Negative behavior migrates to the path of least resistance. Can anyone, Angela, tell your listeners or anybody else on the planet, can anyone say, I can create an environment for you that's so formidable that no one will hack into it? If they tell you that, they're lying or they're delusional or both, but it's not possible. But that's not our goal. Our goal is to create something so that it's so difficult, they run into it like a wall, and then they go next door. That's what hackers do. They do not spend a whole lot of time trying to get in a certain location. They go to the path of least resistance. That's how they work. Their business model is generating right at $10 trillion, with a T, dollars a year in cybercrime. That's how lucrative it is. Because we allow it to be lucrative, we make ourselves easy. So, Angela, to your point, a couple of things that will help all your listeners from becoming victims. Number one, the path of least resistance that hackers use to get into your life is your email. Believe it or not, why is it your email? Well, one, because the vast majority of people, Angela, use public email, like a public box, like a Gmail system. Gmail was compromised a long time ago, and I don't know why it hasn't been, made known to people, but if you're on a Gmail account, and Angela, I will do this at a professional courtesy and my genuine respect for you. If you have any listeners that are on Gmail and they want to know if their email has been compromised, as a courtesy to you, I would have my office run it for them at no charge just to see and to make sure that it's not compromised. And if it is, help them get it secured. So we will throw that out there right now, because we don't want to talk about stuff and not stand behind it, right? We don't want to say, do this and not give somebody a solution. There's your solution. Number one, the path of least resistance for hackers, email. Why? Angela, let's just think about you or your friends, your colleagues. Every component of your life has an email. If you're signing up for Verizon or Spectrum, if you're signing up at the store for a credit card, whatever you're doing, banking, accounting, attorney, medical, everybody's got an email. Every website you go to asks for an email. So hackers use email to get into your life. It's the open door. Why public email? Because it has no security. Again, path of least resistance. You can't control that third-party website where your email is sitting. Hence, if it's a public email like that Gmail, they're going to get in. Now, once they're in, they hijack your identity. They hijack you. They become you. And then using that email, they can get spyware into your desktop, your laptop, your phone, your iPad, whatever it may be. And now they're in your email, they're in your data, they're in your apps, etc. So number one, get off of public email. To help everyone with that, if you want help with that, I'm offering it right now as a listener and a faithful fan of Angela's. Our office will help you get off of it. If you want, we'll leave it at that. So Angela, we'll start with number one, get off email. Number two, be very careful about where and what apps that you use. That's going to be critical going forward. So to give you an example, WhatsApp. If you're using WhatsApp, get off WhatsApp. WhatsApp was compromised. That information should not be used. If you want a secure app where you can chat, where you can have a voice video call, where you want to have a telephone call with somebody anywhere in the world, use Signal, S-I-G-N-A-L. Now, I have no connection to Signal. I don't make any money. This is not an endorsement. I use it because it's the safest. 256-bit encrypted across the board. So if you want to chat, remember, if somebody wants your text messages, it's not easy. It's not difficult to get. So just use Signal and you've gotten rid of that. Get off of WhatsApp. Last but not least, remember apps that have surveillance attached to it, like TikTok. I know that you probably have a lot of fans that love TikTok. That's great. And if you want to use it, God bless you. Use it. Your heart's content. But use it, know what you're doing. What I mean by that is, if you're going to use TikTok, understand the moment it goes on your phone, that app has a surveillance algorithm in it that will start to read your phone, your texts, your emails, your other apps. It can see everything.
Wow. So
if you're cool with that, because some people, Angela, some people are going to say, well, I care. I'm not rich. I'm not whatever. I don't care what somebody reads. And if you're cool with it, then use it. I don't care. It makes some difference to me. But if you don't want everyone reading your stuff, then get the hell off of it. Number three on that, Snapchat. Angela, in your infinite wisdom, you mentioned that the genesis of this conversation about extortion issues. Yes. We handle an average of 8 extortion cases a month.
Wow.
Well, frequently they come in. Snapchat. People say, well, you know, I sent this message on Snapchat and I took this picture, but it disappears right away. False. It doesn't disappear. We just finished with a case. Young lady, and Angela, this breaks my heart. Young lady, 16 years old. I've known her since she was 10. She's brilliant. She's beautiful. She's kind. She's all things that are good in this world. And she connected with some guy at her school who's a freaking moron. And he convinces her to send a picture of herself, which she did over Snapchat. And that picture then gets shared all over the place. And she was trying to get into an Ivy League school, and they turned her down because of her public appearance on social media. So, Jeez. Yeah, if someone tells you Snapchat doesn't disappear, they're an idiot. It doesn't go anywhere, which adds that last, you know, number four here is to remember, protect your phone. Phones can get hacked and you need to make sure that yours is safe. So a couple of, real quick, Angela, a couple of suggestions for all of your listeners. The most common signs of phone hacking. Number one is pop-ups. If you've seen a lot of pop-up ads, then it's very possible you have adware infection inside that phone.
Oh, wow.
A lot of unrecognized texts or calls, a lot, several a day. That could mean you have that as well. High data usage, high battery drain. If that battery's draining a lot and you bring it up to the store and there's not a problem with it, then you have some type of adware or malware infection on the phone. If the phone gets hot a lot, bring it in, trade it in, but don't keep it because either the phone's bad or it's compromised. Reduced performance, websites that look strange, right? Just as a heads up, websites that look strange that come up on your phone, if you're, you know, kind of surfing the net, that's a clear indicator there's something on there. And last but not least, unexpected charges on your phone bill where, you know, this app was on there and this app was on there and unfortunately you didn't put them there. So those are those top four that I would have to say, if get off public email, get off the apps that have surveillance on them, check to make sure your phone is not compromised. And the very last thing is breathe before you post. And I tell people that all the time. Angela, as God is my judge, there is no electronic eraser.
Yeah. I tell kids that all the time. I tell all these young people that all the time. It's It's so interesting that you say that because, you know, our kids think that we're, oh, we're so old school because just what you explained, that whole scenario situation, we used to tell our older kids, like, remember when MySpace used to be out there?
Sure. That's
such a long time ago. We would never let our kids have a MySpace account. And my younger son is not allowed to have any social media at all. And it's for all of these reasons that you're talking about. First and foremost, I don't think that the younger generation is wise enough or has had enough training to understand what happens on the internet. Now, I will give praise to my son's school that he goes to because they actually have a class called digital literacy and they do train train and teach all of the kids about digital literacy and making sure that they are using integrity and character and things of that nature when they are on the internet or when they're sending texts or things of that nature. But I still even think beyond that, there's not enough training for these young people to know and understand. And let's get real. What you're talking about is we have grown up in a generation now where it's just everyone uses TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or any of these things that you're talking about, Snapchat, all of these things, and they think it's just normal. And realistically, what you're trying to share with us is that, you know, we understand about having fun, but you need to be aware of what the problems can be that come from these things.
Yeah, and they're extraordinary. And the key part is, remember, there is no electronic eraser. You can't do the, oh, wow, I need to take that down because it's not coming down.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many sports and entertainment agents and business managers come to us on a weekly basis asking us to help their clients, very famous people that want information to disappear because they didn't want it up there. Well, it doesn't matter what you want. It's not coming down. So if preemptively people would take that advice, I think, you're putting yourself in a much better position. No question.
Yeah, I get asked that question all the time because, you know, so our company, we specialize in credit management. We help people, you know, basically restore their credit, whether it's their business or their personal. And then we do the identity theft protection when it comes to their credit. So they automatically think that that's something else that we can do. And that's why I connected with you. And I'm so grateful that we connected that way. But, you know, there's so many different ways that we need to protect ourselves. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation. Now, you know, in closing, I always like to ask a couple of questions. So obviously you have a lot that keeps you up at night because of this stuff that you're dealing with.
Well, I want a good night's sleep, Angela. I want a good night's sleep. God, please.
But I mean, really, God. At the end of the day, it's not necessarily that it's keeping you up, but that's kind of a saying. So what is that? What is that thing that keeps you up at night or that expression?
You know, the main thing that keeps me up, God rest his soul, my father-in-law, who is just one of the most wonderful men I've ever known in my life, he said to me one day, how do you go from day to day knowing everything that you know? When you live your entire career, as I have in the intelligence world, you're privy to a lot of information and oftentimes stuff you just don't want to know, right? In answer to your question, I mean, the thing that keeps me up at night more than anything else right now is kind of where we are as a country and the risks that we're looking at coming at us, you know, in the coming months and the division. And I think that the fact that all of it is avoidable if we could just kind of change the course. So I think that would be the number one thing that keeps me up at night.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Now let's turn it around here. What's the best advice no one ever gave you?
That's a great question. I will tell you unequivocally, the best advice no one ever gave me, but I've learned through experience, is there are no do-overs. And if there's anything that anyone could ever tell you that could have more value, it would be nothing more than the fact that there are no do-overs. Don't waste one day because you never know from one minute to the next when life's going to change. Don't go to bed pissed off. And remember that you're not getting to do today over. And yes, most of the time we waste our days with stuff that we couldn't have changed anyway. The one thing that I've learned that in answer to your question, the best advice I've ever got that no one gave me was, remember, there are no do-overs.
Yeah.
So that's the best thing.
Think it out.
Exactly.
I always say use the STAR method, which is stop, think, and act right.
Wow, that's perfect. People should, you need to trademark that, my friend. That's damn smart right there. Yeah. No question about it.
I always told my kids that, you know, that this is what you need to practice always. Think about it and say it out loud so that you can, you know, make the right decisions, because that's what you're really talking about. And we do have the opportunity to make the right decisions if we stop and we think about it first before we do it. So,
Well, life's all about choices, my friend. Life's all about choices.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. Well, this has been such an interesting podcast, and I am so grateful to have you here. How can our guests get in touch with you?
Anytime, 212-315-0088, or they can email me directly if they want. And that is pv@violisgroup.com, which is pvviolisgroup.com. And take me up on that. Angela, take me up on it. If there's anybody, any of your listeners or fans that are really concerned about their emails and want to make sure they're okay, if they're one of yours, I'm more than happy to help them out, and it won't cost them a dime.
Amazing. Well, we will definitely also have your website on the description of this podcast. Well, friends and fans out there, you heard it here first. This is A to the N to the G, and you know where you're listening. This is Your Credit Today. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button and share this information with all of your friends and family. And I really appreciate having you here once again, Paul. It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You as well, Angela. Thank you.
Bye, fans.
Hey, friends. Thanks for tuning in to Your Credit Today, where we navigate the world of credit management one episode at a time. Remember, financial freedom begins with understanding. Be sure to subscribe for more tips, tricks, and insights to help you master your credit journey. Until next time, this is A to the N to the G, the real credit queen. Remember to stay informed, stay empowered, and stay financially savvy.